Ben?
Well, he'll have to. All right. Welcome to Around the Whiteboard. For the first time in like 2 weeks, because the last time we did this, StreamYard wasn't working. So we pre-recorded it, and then StreamYard, or me, or both of us, deleted the recording. So Roy Stone was great. And he's through to the semi-final. This is the first round of the next group of shows, because I postponed that semi-final because obviously like quarterfinals are on. Colton is in the quarterfinal, he's busy. Carolyn's in the quarterfinal, she's busy, or in the semi-final, she's busy. So we paused that run and we're on to this one. You guys are in for a treat today for numerous reasons. We've got Johnny Davies, who is a seminar staff red shirt, accidentally opened an affiliate and now has like 450 people doing quarterfinals, and has one of the best kitted out affiliates I think I've ever seen in anywhere, never mind Wales or Europe. Geographically Europe, not politically. And we've got Keith Knapp, KS Island, so Eth Knapp. He is the former something in CrossFit and current affiliate owner in Fairfield, CrossFit Fairfield. And yeah, he's a good dude. And Zach Tallender in the outer box there. You're looking good, Zach. Thanks for showing up on time. Really appreciate it. You're probably busy penning another essay about Greg Glassman or something. So we've got, as well as all that, oh, I hope he doesn't see that. As well as all that, we've also got, after us, here he is, after us, he's got a green screen as well. God, Zach, we can put you anywhere. We can put you in compromising positions. We can do whatever we want. Yeah. Welcome, Zach. Okay, we've also got, we're on until noon PST, roughly, or 8 p.m. if you're my neck of the woods. After us, you got Shut Up and Scribble. They're going live with the announcement. And if you're watching this and just stay here, my channel will automatically push you on. So the next, it'll just reload as their show once this show is over. So you don't have to click anything. You don't have to do anything. Then at 1:30 PST, or 9:30 our time GMT, Get With The Programming. They're doing quarterfinal events review and reaction. Then after that, The Spin is on. All these shows are basically one after the other leading up to the Savan podcast at 6 p.m. That's going to be a CrossFit Games update show. There hasn't one of them in a while. And God, we need it. So we've got this, then Shut Up and Scribble, Taylor, who is doing the quarterfinals live on the Savan show tomorrow and the next day, will be reacting in real time. So you'll get to see 35 seconds of JR giving an honest assessment of the quarterfinal workouts, and then about 45 minutes of Taylor just losing his shit, like repeatedly in different ways, and probably a vein bursting in his head or something. All right, back to this show. So first of all, Beyond the Whiteboard, btwb.com/all-in-one. If you go there, Keith, you can go to that and you can transfer all of your logistical shit for your gym into there, and they just white glove it and do everything for you. Johnny, you can't do it yet, but when they launch in the UK and Europe, you can. You can also just download the app and use it as a workout tracker. That's what I do. It counts your burpees. So that's what it's doing for me. It's counting my burpees. Although I didn't put it in like loads of times, so it's off, but still. Okay. I need to share our timer. There. Can everybody see that? Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit bigger, yes. Maybe. There you go. All right. First up, Johnny, you're nearest to me. So you're going to go first, and then it's going to be Keith and then Zach. And we'll have 60 seconds each. Then we're going to come back down the line. We'll have 20 seconds each of rebuttal time. And then we'll divvy out some points. And then we'll go round two, round three. And the winner of the overall day will be forced with or against their will to come back for a semi-final in a few weeks. And they'll also get 30 seconds to talk about whatever they want. And our first topic, off the back of Ben Smith, put up a post on his Patreon that I'm not a patron, but I could see it. So I don't know if he understands how Patreon works, but I was able to read the post. He's missing out on some money there. So he basically ascertained that, and I sent you guys the whole quote. He basically ascertained that CrossFit Games should be the main advertising method or focus for CrossFit, and that if everybody gets behind that messaging, then that means that the affiliates are the labs or the testing grounds, not necessarily pushing athletes towards being games athletes, but that's the ultimate ideal, and that it just puts everyone into one row behind one thing. There's no confusion or less confusion. And that was his idea that he was proposing. So, Johnny, you're up first. You got 60 seconds. Should the games be CrossFit's main advertisement? Your time starts now. Off you go.
No, I would say that the game should not be CrossFit's main advertisement. The goal of the program is to get fit, right? So when you see these elite athletes at the peak of the sport, which is the CrossFit Games, then that is a byproduct of what we do in the affiliates. And it can be definitely used as an advertisement to say, you know, people that do this program, CrossFit, get unbelievably fit and get very, very good at everything. But should it be the main advertisement and the main focus point for maybe getting people into the affiliate? No, I don't think so. I think the main focus should be on just regular people doing unbelievable things, which is what happens in an affiliate. When you walk into affiliate, you realize it's not a normal place. These people are way above average fit. If one or two of those maybe make it a semi-finals, that's unbelievable. And then one in 1,000 will potentially make it ever to the game. So it can be an amazing advertisement for what is possible in CrossFit.
You're out of time, Johnny. Muted. It's cutthroat, man. All right, good stuff. Keith, you're up next. You got 60 seconds. Time starts now. Off you go.
Absolutely. And the reason that I would say that is Greg very clearly stated it very early in the days of CrossFit that the needs of an Olympic athlete and her grandmothers differ by degree, not kind. If we make that message clear as we're using the games to promote what CrossFit can deliver, that syncs up very clearly with what happens in the affiliate, where we have the opportunity to train elite athletes and we have the opportunity to train grandmothers. I think it is an amazing opportunity to showcase what can be done with the methodology. And it's the same reason that ESPN top 10 plays showcase the greatest athletes doing the greatest things, because it creates attention, it creates draw, it creates intrigue and interest. So why wouldn't we use the athletes that are on the games floor doing unbelievable things to promote what the methodology can deliver for an individual?
Nicely put. All right, Zach. Apparently, the quarterfinal workouts have already been posted. That is fucking unbelievable. My God. Like, Jesus. All right, Zach, you've got 60 seconds. Your time starts now. Off you go.
I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to join Keith on this. My personal experience was very powerful in that a lot of the content that I consumed around CrossFit was predominantly, if not completely, professional. I think a lot of people who are really into CrossFit, they want to watch the best. And then if you go to an affiliate and you look at the average CrossFitter and you ask them about the CrossFit Games or the professionals, they don't know what's going on up there. And that's fine. So both things can exist at the same time. My idea here is that there's some level of trickle down to like bros like me who are super interested in the sport. Right. And then you also get on the other side, the people who have no idea what's going on in the sport. You can attack both of those at the same time if the games are CrossFit's main advertisement.
All right, Johnny, we're back down to you. You get 20 seconds of rebuttal. So you can continue on your own point, or you can criticize one of the other two guys who have taken a different stance from you. Your time starts now. Off you go.
In terms of like growing CrossFit worldwide, CrossFit Games is an unbelievable advertisement, but I don't think I've had it. Maybe one person join the gym because they want to go to the CrossFit Games.
All right. Keith, you're up 20 seconds. Off you go.
I just got done watching because I was, you know, really excited about jumping into this conversation. I watched Every Second Counts again. And it was like just amazing to look at where the sport has come and the opportunity that we saw in the early days to see what the games athletes were doing. We should do more of that.
Last one then, Zach, 20 seconds, off you go.
To kind of come back at what Johnny was saying, like, I don't think by advertising CrossFit Games, you're saying, hey, you can make it to the CrossFit Games. It's just cool looking. It's just sick. Like when I watch Rich Froning, like I'm like, I want to do CrossFit, not like I want to be in the games.
All right, good stuff. Live reaction to the quarterfinal. Like, I mean, that's just like, how can you say a time? Fucking Jesus! Like, oh yeah, we're gonna release
pull him out. Should we watch him? Should we look at him?
Oh man, we've enough shit going on. I'll leave that to Suez and who's there, Johnny? I'm gonna shorten your name, Johnny.
Is it like one of them heavy and like cool? I'll do it today. I'll do one of them today.
Trying really hard not to get distracted.
All right, let's go.
Same. All right. Yeah, okay. Where am I? There. All right. Scores after that one. Johnny's on 2, Keith's on 2.5, Zach's on 2.5. Yeah, I mean, like, there's no wrong answer, really. It's just kind of opinion. I guess coming from, fucking hell, how did I spell your name wrong? That is like atrocious. Coming from my own biases, I know that I think if people don't, maybe I'm wrong, but I think if people don't find the gym through YouTube or the sport or something, they kind of find it through happenstance. Like they Google it or they see it or their friend tells them about it. And none of those things are really advertising. So I think that's where I'm coming from with the scores there. Although I did like Johnny's, the average being special. And I did like, you know, Keith's degree not kind and Zach tackling the bros. Oh shit. So my super chat, I didn't see a super chat. Hang on. Oh, you are right. It is Zach. Is that a C-H-K? Okay.
You had it right. Yeah,
Z-A-C-K. Okay. That was a waste of $2, Augustus. Chump. Thanks. all right. Topic number 2. So this is off the back of Fluffy Duck. Josh Pertle put up a clip of Alex Gazan. I showed you guys this clip too in our notes. This is actually the most effort I've gone to for sending. Usually I just like type a question and I say, all right, best of luck, but I actually gave some content to consume. So on this one, Alex was talking about, Josh put it to her about the difference between the methodology and the sport and the differences between like healthy and unhealthy and what makes like our CrossFit Games athletes, would you see them as healthy or would you see them as unhealthy? And my question to you is, are they healthy or are they unhealthy? Keith, you're first up on this one because you went second last time. You have got 60 seconds. Time starts now. Off you go.
So it's impossible to answer that question because if we look at the definition of health as laid out in the level 1 manual, it basically says that health is a measure of fitness over time. So if we're trying to determine whether somebody's healthy, we have to look at their fitness over a period of time. At a single point in time, we can say that CrossFit Games athletes are fit. We can't necessarily say whether they are healthy. There's also a lot of conversation around like what it means to be healthy in general anyway, right? Most of the time, doctors are going to tell you it's an absence of disease. The World Health Organization will tell you that there's spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, like physically healthy, 100%. Emotionally healthy, I don't know, maybe. Spiritually healthy, a lot of them happen to have a great relationship with Christ. So absolutely. But again, on the CrossFit definition, impossible to say unless we look at that over a long period of time.
Good stuff. Zach, 60 seconds off you up.
I'm going to say objectively, yes, they are healthy. And I'd love to see the metric that which we can determine they are unhealthy. There's a new Lancet study that just came out that there are 1 out of every 8 people that walks the planet is obese. So we are now, obesity is a higher factor in this world than world hunger for the first time in world history. And so objectively, if we look at the global population, by no means are CrossFit Games athletes unhealthy. It's as simple as that. I think we can get into the weeds, and I think it's really popular for people to say, you know, the elite athletes in this and this and this are unhealthy. It's not about health. It's about performance. But like, guys, if you look at the average human that walks the earth, it's not even close. It's not even close. Even if the mental health is horrible.
All right. Johnny, you got 60 seconds. Off you go.
I would agree that, yeah, games athletes are unbelievably healthy at this snapshot in time. And the way we define health is your fitness measured across your age. But you also have to look at other health markers as well. So like bone density, lean muscle mass, body fat, rest and heart rate, so I guess the argument would be, could they train the way they train now for the rest of their life, doing multiple workouts a day, 4, 5, 6, 7 days a week? I would argue that no, they probably couldn't. That's why a lot of games athletes retire relatively young. So while they are healthier compared to the general population, I think if they did that for the rest of their lives, the health markers would start to slide backwards.
Just going to let time tick by. Cool. All right. Keith, you got 20 seconds to build on your own or criticize someone else's. And your time starts now.
Johnny said it perfectly, that if they were to look at their health over a period of time, if they continued to train at that level, they would decline. I added a little, yeah, shit, you can't see it. That's the model. But the games athlete will be incredibly fit for a period of time. They'll have a precipitous drop for a while. Josh Everett said in Every Second Counts, I'd never do this if I wasn't going to participate in the games.
Oh, wow, you did well to get that in. All right, Zach, 20 seconds, go.
Elite athletes toe the line between maxing out performance and trying to have the minimal effective dose of like mental health. That's not a healthy way to live your life. So I guess that could be an opposing argument. However, still global population healthy.
Last 20 seconds of yours then, Johnny, and off you go.
Yeah. Like, I mean, snapshot in time today. Yes. Unbelievably fit. 50 years from now, potentially some issues with volume and loading over that period of time. So, I'll stick by the guns of one workout a day. 6 days a week, perfectly healthy for life.
Yeah, and accidentally. Did you make quarterfinals, Johnny?
No, I didn't.
No, okay.
An injection in my shoulder 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Steroids or?
Not the good kind.
Come on, get the good stuff in there, dog.
Come on, I need it. I need it.
Yeah. You need to get in touch with California Hormones, apparently. CA peptides. Okay. Someone's trying to guess. Oh, I'm not going to be able to find the comment. Yeah. So I say good stuff a lot when people stop talking because it's kind of awkward. And what do you say when you're stopping the clock and starting it again? So when you say something, but the people think there's a code. Like that, if I say good stuff, is that, well, that's a two answer. There is no code. All right, good stuff there in that one, though. Johnny's on 5. Zach's on 4. Zach, use of his study was quite impressive. Kind of cost himself a bit in the end because he sort of argued against his own point after making his point pretty well up until that point. Said, well, actually, maybe it's unhealthy, but fuck it, it's healthy. I thought Johnny's use of the, the graph, that was when I heard that conversation initially, it's actually Johnny said that to me at my level one. And that's something that stuck with me in particular from the level one, is like broadening that, you know, space inside the graph. And I think obviously if they're performing at that level, you can't really argue against the health. All right. Anything interesting? I agree with Johnny. Elite athletes have all had procedures later, hip replacements, knee replacements and on. Same for other sport. All of them. I don't think that's true. Let's see. The Lancet is a weekly peer-reviewed medical journal and the oldest of its kind. It's also one of the world's highest impact academic journals. Did you just fucking rip that off Wikipedia? What the fuck? Well, he was impressed earlier on. Okay, I get it. Let's see.
That's right, baby.
Oh, man, everyone's spelling your name on Zach. I'm actually the only one that spelled it right.
I think he's planting commenters.
How do you find healthy? Well, that was part of the question, Jeffrey, wasn't it?
No, that's why. Yeah, Keith's definition was great. I love that. I mean, it's
straight from the L1 manual.
It's a long time.
What is fitness part 2?
Page print 13. It out myself because fucking .com doesn't sell it.
I used to.
He used to, yeah. He used to do a lot of stuff, Johnny. All right. They used to employ Keith. Last round of 60 seconds then. So speaking of the level one, if someone had no interest in coaching, should the average layperson participate in their level one? Zach, you're going first on this one. You got 60 seconds. Your time starts now. Off you go.
I'd love for you to show me somebody who says, I'm going to do CrossFit for the next 20 years and I never want to get my L1. And they know the future. They know exactly what's going to happen 20 years from now. And I'm never going to get my L1. If that person exists, then hell yeah, do not get your level one. Do not do it. It's a waste of time because you know your future. But the idea of having the L1 in the back pocket and you're going to do this for a long time, I think it's definitely worth it. But I guess my answer to your question, should a non-coach, somebody who knows that they're never going to coach, they never have any aim to, no, don't do it. It's as simple as that.
Interesting. Johnny Davis, seminar staff red shirt. Should a non-coach bother with their level one? Off you go.
Yes, I think anyone doing CrossFit within the first 3 to 5 years of doing it should go and take their level one, regardless of whether they want to coach or not. It's if you're doing this CrossFit consistently, you will want to know why you're doing pull-ups and why you're doing thrusters and why you're doing these horrible 400-meter runs. And if you understand the methodology and the science behind why we define CrossFit and how we define fitness and all of this stuff, it makes it a better experience for the athlete, for the affiliate owners, for the coaches, all around. When you watch football or rugby, you know the rules of the game. It makes an even playing field. It's the same thing with doing this fitness thing.
That's good, yeah. My favorite part of that was Zach shaking his head. All right, Keith, you got 60 seconds. Off you go.
I think our good friend Savan actually calls the L1 the manual for the human genome, and I couldn't agree with him anymore. I actually have a CrossFit coach, or actually a coach at our gym, who's in the process of going through his L1 for the first time, and he said, I don't know why everybody doesn't take this, because it really does help you understand way more than just how to coach someone. In fact, the L1 isn't really even about coaching anyway. That's where the L2 comes into play. The L1 is about, what's the methodology? How do we define fitness? Why do we do what we do? What's the most effective way to think about the theoretical hierarchy of development, right? There's all these different things that an athlete will learn when they take their L1, that in some ways they might learn if they just stick it out in a CrossFit gym. But everybody should actually take the L1. And here's the trick. Once you do, you're going to probably want to end up coaching anyway.
All right, 20 seconds, Zach, to verbalize your head shaking. Your time starts now. Off you go.
So Johnny said that within 3 to 5 years, you should take your L1 no matter what. Is there a cheaper version of that? Because $1,150 plus your membership fee that's no easy thing to just drop on something like, I want to be educated. You know, maybe you could print out the L1 and read the manual yourself.
Time's up. Yeah, it's actually not that fucking cheap to print it out either. That was not an insubstantial investment on my part. All right, Johnny, 20 seconds. Off you go.
Yeah, most of the content is free online for the level one. Look, I did the level one course and I had no intention of being a coach. And then 8, 9, 10 years later, that course literally changed my life.
And then last 20 seconds of yours, Keith, off you go.
Zach, 100% hear you on the price. There should absolutely be a version of the L1 that is a more approachable price and only done online. There is an online level one. It's too expensive. Shouldn't be that much. Every individual that does CrossFit should have an opportunity to take the L1 content much cheaper online.
Interesting. Okay, let me do some scores. You can talk amongst yourselves. If anybody's, you're fucking joking me. Is that the actual workout?
You can't say stuff like that. You can't just say stuff like that.
Sorry.
I thought they were out at 8 p.m., no?
Johnny, look, I mean, what do you want me to say here?
Insiders.
No, they've like leaked them.
Oh.
If I move us over here.
Never change, then... CrossFit. Never change. I love it, dude.
Oh, no, I can't do that now. I can't do that. That'll share the...
Ooh. What's your favorite CrossFit gaffe? Sorry, is this a too much of a tangent off? Because mine is the not having enough weight for, like, they did a workout where they didn't have the proper weight for the women or something. They forgot to add the fives. Or for, was it for the men? Something like that.
They did it in Europe.
They were doing kilos. Because they were doing it in kilos, dude. I was like,
couldn't do the math.
Never change. Oh, that was my favorite one.
Okay, it won't let me share the screen. Four rounds for max reps. That's basically Fight Combat. 1 minute of max snatches, 1 minute of rowing calories, 1 minute of dumbbell box step ups, 1 minute of rest.
What's the weight in the snatch?
38 kilos for girls, 61 for guys, or 50.
135,
85.
One dumbbell.
85?
85? No, it's got to be 95.
It's 85.
85.
Two dumbbells for the step-ups.
Not adding the fives. Yeah. Onto the women's bar.
Then workout 2, 3 rounds for time. I don't know why I still have you like that, because it's not working. 3 rounds for time of 50 wall ball shots, 50 lateral burpee box jump overs. Oh, more burpees and jumping.
But more lateral, burpees and jumping. That's brutal. It's real weird.
Yeah, we haven't had enough
burpees. Maybe the burpee has to be lateral, and then you jump. You know what I'm saying? Burpee, lateral.
I'm saying they did that because they don't want people to hit their shins. They want to hit the side of their legs when they're jumping over the boxes, because 50 box jump overs when you're doing 50 wall ball shots means people are not going to make that jump.
Yeah, you're better off breaking your ankle and smacking your head off to down the other side.
You just hit the side of your leg instead of your shin.
If you burpee laterally, you have to turn and then reset and give more effort to the jump. That's all I'm saying. It's like, but still, you're right.
Workout 3 rounds of 10 handstand pushes, 20 toes to bar, then 2 rounds of 10 strict handstand pushes, 5 rope climbs. Ropes?
That's supposed to fit in. It's not fitting in a class.
Then 1 round of 10 chest to wall handstand pushups and 20 muscle ups on the rings.
That's the elite stuff right there.
And then the last one is 10 clean and jerks weight 1, 10 clean and jerks weight 2, 10 clean and jerks weight 3 with a minute rest in between, and then max reps at weight 4. And it goes 135, 185, 225, 245, or 60, 80-ish, 100-ish, 110-ish.
A couple of weeks ago.
Wow. Anyway, directly after this show, in 2 minutes, you can go and hear JR calmly and eloquently go through the workouts, and Taylor is probably be the most you'll ever hear a human swear. That's just my prediction. All right, I need to edit these scores quickly. That's what I was doing when I got distracted. All right, there's one.
I can't see them there.
I haven't done them yet.
I thought you were putting them.
I'm building suspense. I'm putting them up, and then I'm high. 2, 4, 6, 5. Right. Congratulations, Johnny Davies. 7 points takes the win for the day. You get 30 seconds to talk about whatever you want, and it has to be 30 seconds because we are going to shut up and scribble. So start talking, Johnny. Please go.
Oh, what's that? I don't even know what to talk about now. You put me on the spot. I've just got to go when I'm thinking about those quarterfinal workouts now. I programmed that clean and jerk one pretty much rep for rep, weight for weight, about 3 weeks ago.
A little brag. Yeah, you could tell people if you wanted to. It's too late now, Johnny, but you could have told people that I'm going over to your gym in Swansea for a day. To record over there in the summer. All right. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. Keith, thank you. Good luck with your affiliate and stuff. Johnny, best of luck running a class with that, those workouts. Thanks for coming on. Anybody that's currently sitting here now watching this and in the comments, stay where you are. And when this stream ends, you don't need to do anything. Open a new window, nothing. You will go straight to shut up and scribble, and then you can carry on the rest of your day.